Father, thank you again. We can meet this morning. Thank you for the campers that are here. We thank you for the opportunities that we will have to show them who you are. We pray that you speak to our hearts today as we look into your word in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been around, I've been doing a confusion series, not to confuse you, but to talk about things that are confusing and things that are confused in our culture that we have to understand. Today is a particularly difficult one to talk about, but I'm going to do it anyway because of the fact that we need to talk about it because people are confused. And you're going to need to listen carefully because if you put it out of context, you're going to be even more confused. And that's why we don't talk about it much, because it's important that you pay attention. We're going to talk about people are confused as to God never giving up. Now, I use the term never giving up kind of loosely because God is somebody, and tomorrow I'm going to talk about this a little bit, about what choices are, that kind of thing. But God is in the future, so it's not like he gives up. He understands what's going to happen today. He understands your responses. And giving up may be a lousy term, but here's what's happening in our nation. There are many people that think that God will never respond to their sin, that they can live without God in a way that they would like to live, and he never responds to it. That isn't true. If you've heard me speak before, you've heard me tell you, God is not tolerant, but he is patient. And what I am telling you right from the beginning is, I do not know where that line of patience is. I don't know where that is, where it turns to no more. I just know that he's not tolerant. He's patient. And so I want you to understand that as we go through this, we're talking of a God who loves you immensely. We're talking in terms of contextually understanding God. So in that, what you've got to grasp is the idea that God is not out to hurt anyone. That isn't his goal. He is not out to want anyone separated from him. That isn't his goal. He is not a God that wants to punish. See, that's not his goal. What does he want to do? He actually wants to love you. But here's the deal. You have to let him love you. That's how it works. If you choose not to let him love you, there are consequences. That's what I'm talking about. All right? It's those who choose not to let God love them and not want consequences to go with it. That's not biblical. The old illustration, going back to the simplest one, is you beat your head on a rock, you get a headache. See, that's what happens. And to believe that you wouldn't, or to pray that you wouldn't, or to think that God would have mercy on you and you wouldn't, is a bad thought. And yet, somehow, theologically, we mix things up. We think, you know what, I can just ignore God, do what I want, not listen to him, and he will not respond. That's not true. He will. Now here's my deal. I don't know when that is going to happen or not happen. I don't know how patient he is. So that's not my call. My call is to continually push you toward what I know about God. And what I know about God is that he wants to reconcile. He wants you to have the life you could. He wants you to live the way you should. Why? Because he sees what it could be if you live that way. So let me get into it. Jeremiah 11:7-8. For I solemnly warned you, your fathers, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, warning them persistently, even to this day, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear. But everyone walked in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore I brought upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. In other words, he's saying, look, I gave people a very specific way to live, but they chose not to. All right, understand this. God has been very clear throughout the Bible telling us this is the way to live. You have a choice of either listening to him or not. If you choose not to listen to him and your life becomes a disaster, do not look at God and say his love has failed you. You made choices. Now you need to understand that the choices actually, or the ideas, actually have consequences. And so we have to deal with those. Jeremiah 11:9. Again, the Lord said to me, a conspiracy exists among the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words. They have gone after other gods to serve them, The house of Israel, the house of Judah, have broken my covenant that I made with their fathers. All right, you're hearing God say something here. It's like, I have tried to communicate over and over and over again. They will not respond. All right, now picture this. God, who's loving, who knows what's right, and wants you to live in a way that will be the best for you, has tried to communicate you, and you keep not listening to him. What can you expect then? See, and that's where our theology sometimes gets mushy, because what we think is, this God's grace and God's mercy, and you know, just it'll be there, it's no problem, tomorrow will be okay. Maybe. Certainly his grace and his mercy are something that God gives, and they're way beyond anything we can ever comprehend. So I'm not drawing the line there. He will. But to think that our ideas don't have consequences, to think, see, if you think of God as an angry God in heaven that wants to just punish people, then you don't know God, because he loves you. If you think of God as a genie in the bottle kind of God, that's not who he is either. So you know, you just rub the lamp three times, three wishes, whatever, and all of a sudden, there he is. And God, you know, if you love me, do this. Oh, you don't love me. And God's going, wait a minute, you made these choices, you're going to live with them. I gave you all the information you needed, you ignored it. And now you want me to not give you what goes with it. That would make your choices a farce, and they aren't. And we'll talk about that more. Jeremiah 11:11, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am bringing disaster upon them that they cannot escape. Though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. Whoa, when's the last time you just thought about that verse? Even though they cry to me, I will not listen. Wow. You know, there are times I'd like to believe that God isn't this way. But that what that means is that I don't have a complete understanding of who he is, because a God who loves is this way. See, God loved the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he did destroy the city. It does not mean he didn't love them. There was only one. In fact, you look in James, look at James, but Lot is considered a righteous man who detested the ways of those around them. God rescued one person out of that city. Why? Because he's a loving God. The rest of them chose to ignore God. And when you choose to ignore God, and you choose not to listen to what he says, and you want to just put it in his face and say, then you don't want any bad consequences? Now look, you might think that God gives you the bad consequences. You give them to yourself. This is not God dealing you bad consequences, because that's not his desire for you. You give them to yourself. It's kind of like if you worked here at Silver Birch Ranch, and let's say your job was to every day make sure that spot on the carpet isn't there. Okay, that's your job. And you don't do that. So every day I come in, that spot's on the carpet. Like, what about that spot? What about that spot? What about that spot? You go, you know. So one day I come and go, you're fired. Why? Because you can't get rid of that spot on the carpet. And you go, you're such a mean person. You just take lives and ruin them, don't you? And I'm going, wait a minute. Your job was to get the spot out of the carpet. You did this to you, not me. See, you didn't do your job. Why are you blaming me for you not doing your job? I want to understand that. You know, most of the time when somebody gets fired, you fire yourself. Understand that. There's hardly ever a time in history where anyone that gets fired takes responsibility for it. But the truth of the matter is, if you're working for someone, let's say there's Joe Rich Guy over here, and he owns his own business, and he hired you to, you know, do something, and you're not doing it, he comes out and goes, you're fired. Somehow you're going to make him to blame for it. But if you didn't do what he asked you to do, it's really your choice, not his. You chose not to listen. You chose to see, don't make it about him. The bad part of the analogy is you don't have to work for him. You know, I had a guy once complaining about his boss and how bad it was. I said, well, what are you going to do? He goes, I don't know, we'll strike or something. I said, why don't you just quit and go work at Walmart? I mean, why are you? Well, because the boss is bad. Yeah, right. It's always about the boss. It's always about the person. See, in our world, it's about the president. He ruined the whole country. It's really about God. He's got all the power, so it's about him. Well, what about your responsibility within that? We sing this song, and I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We'd sing a song that says, nothing can separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. Really? Even if you run away? Even if you refuse God? Even if you refuse his way? You can just say, oh, I'm done. Let's have it back to normal. You'd be married someday and just say, I'm going to go have an affair. I'm going to leave my wife. I'm going to, oh, but everything will work out just fine. No, it won't. Now, in context, it's not God's love failing, so that's right. But see, in the context of an American mind, what happens is we mix theology here. We think, it doesn't really matter what I do, God will just reach down and make it right. It's not God that's ever going to make it wrong. He has given us his word. We need to respond to him. And if we don't respond to him, then we need to understand that because we didn't respond to him, there are consequences that are attached to it. So if I don't want to listen to God today, and I want to do exactly the opposite of what he says, something's going to happen to me. And I can claim, well, God, you said your love would never fail. How come I'm not getting rescued here? In fact, there's a line later in the song that says, there may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. That could be, or it may not be. I tell you, if you're talking about the morning being when you're with God, that's another story. But if you're talking about something you did, let's say I went out, did something really stupid, and hurt somebody or whatever, in the morning they're still hurt, I still got pain. See, it's interesting how we take things and we kind of idealize them in our head, but they're not real. In theory, and in theology, yes. If I'm Stephen and I'm getting stoned, there's going to be joy in the morning when I'm out of here. So I understand that. See, what I want you to do is start thinking through the idea that sometimes what we do is we mix truth and error a little bit. Not necessarily the song. Whoever wrote this song, they might have, you know, totally, they might be thinking in terms of the passage in Romans 8 and be thinking where God talks about what should we say to these? God is for us, who can be against us? If you read that passage, what he's talking about is people, basically, and circumstances that go against you. Somebody say, well, you know, all things work together for good. That's the last line of the song. Finish the verse. All things work together for good for everybody? How did it work for those people who refused to go into the promised land? How did it work out for good for them? You see, all things work together for good for to who? To those that love God. What does loving God mean? We've learned that. What does that mean? To those who obey God. You want all things to work together good? Obey God. Then what? Then if you get cancer, you get a storm, you're in the middle of a fight, you love God, you're walking with him, all things will work together for good, I promise. However, you're running from God and you claim that verse? You're not loving God and you claim that verse? All things will not work together good for you. You say, well, what about God's grace and mercy? Well, look, that's God, and he is gracious and merciful, and that's why I'm not drawing the line. You go to him. Believe me, he can fix wrecked lives. He's a specialist in it. I just don't know. It's, again, like the guy that divorced his wife, went and married somebody else, has children with that marriage, comes back, said, I made a mistake, how do I fix it? You can't. You don't understand. I need to fix it. You can't fix it right now. Here's what you can do. You can go apologize to your kids. You can apologize to your former wife. You can make it right with God, and you can have a future, I think. But you can't fix this. See, that's unfixable at this point. Yeah, but I thought God was merciful. He is. And if you would have listened to him in the first place, you wouldn't be in this predicament at all. It's kind of like abortion. Abortion is a non-issue in our country, should be. It isn't. Why? Because we're not listening to God. See, if all of you were abstinent sexually until you were married, and then when you were married, you have the context for having children where you can take care of them. See, now abortion is not an issue anymore. Because there's a provision for them, because we listen to God. So now we have a nation trying to figure out whether they're pro-life or pro-choice. That's not the question. The question is whether they're pro-God. See, that's different. than pro-life or pro-choice. I think once somebody gets pregnant outside of marriage, I go, you want this one to go away, don't you? Yeah, it's not going to. Yeah, but no. Yeah, now we got a different situation here. And you know what? This life should be loved, and this baby should be cared for. I understand all that. But it's a different situation than you had a while ago. And it's really because you didn't listen to God. But God, why did you do that? It's not God's problem. You see, we want to believe that somehow we're insulated against all things that might go wrong in our life because we're Christians. No, if you make a lousy choice, and the lousiest of all your choices will be not listening to God. That will be the lousiest. Top of the lousy pile, that's it. You know, if you're going to make that choice, then you have to live in the context of those things. If I today say, I am done with God, I do not want him, then I have to live in that context. Now, you might say, well, then God didn't really abandon me. That's why the title's tough. I mean, it's not like God's abandoning you. It's not like God's love failed you. It's like you failed him. Does that make sense? So the problem is, in our theology, we think that he fails us. So I use the terms. But that's not true. It's me failing him, not him failing me. Let's go on in Scripture. Jeremiah 11, 12. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry to the gods whom they made offerings. But they cannot save them in time of their trouble. For your gods have become as many as your cities, O Judah, and many as streets of Jerusalem, out of the altars you have set up. Altars to make offerings to Baal. You know, basically it's like, you want to get help from the gods that you've created? Go try it out. People that worship money, you think your money is going to save you now? Give it a try. You've ignored God? Give money a try. You think sex is going to save you or alcohol is going to save you? You think that's, go give it a try. You know what you're going to find? It won't save you. That's what you'll find. See, there's one way God made us, and that's to listen to him and love him and walk with him. This other stuff will not work. And we can go try it, and then we can claim, oh God, please be nice to me. It's like, God, no. You know what? I've given you my word. I've told you what I want. You have ignored me, and now you're crying out for no consequence. I really don't even want to give you the consequence. In fact, I didn't. You gave it to yourself. Basically, he's saying, let's see other things you trust other than God take care of you. Because they won't. 11:14, therefore, do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer on their behalf, for I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their trouble. Whoa. There's a verse we evangelicals don't like. Why? Because it says something about God that we don't really want to hear. He told Jeremiah, Jeremiah is a leader, I want you to quit praying for those people. Why? Because I'm not listening anymore on that subject. And you say, wait a minute, I thought God always listens to you. Well, you're going to have to deal with this verse. You're going to have to deal with other verses in the Bible. When Saul came to God, and he wanted to pray, and God wouldn't talk to him, he sent Samuel instead, which surprised the witch when he came. You say, wait a minute, this is a real downer message. No, it really shouldn't be. Because honestly, here's all we have to understand. God loves you. Listen to him. He wants to give you a life that is right. That's all I'm saying. And if you don't do that, and then there's troubles, please don't blame God. Don't blame the Bible. Don't blame Christians. That's not their issue. It's your issue. Make things right, and they will go as good as they can from that point on. Some people think there's a plan A and B for God, that kind of thing. You know, I missed plan A. I'll never be okay. I don't think so. I think what happens is you stray from the plan. And then when you realize you strayed from the plan, you go, oh, I want to be back on the plan. You just get right back in the plan. You know, I mean, whatever it is. However, the consequences while you strayed may not be able to be cleaned up. In other words, if in the time you did that, you were married, you divorced, the consequences may not be able to be cleaned up. But you can get back into a plan, I think, by what God says. Until the point where possibly God says, you know what? You have ignored me. I'm sorry. You know, I'm done. Live the life you want to. Live trusting the idols you've created. Live trusting all of that. Because I am done with you. It's interesting. This guy, Ball, said this. It is futile to pray for those who have deliberately cast off the covenant of Jehovah and made a covenant with his adversary. I'm not going to read the rest of it. It's just very interesting. It's like people say, there is no God, there is no God. 9/11 happens. We better pray to God. Wait a minute. There is no comfort for you. You do not believe there is a God. Now, God may use that to show you that he's there. But really, there's no comfort outside of God. You have tried to find this comfort outside of God, but there isn't any. See, that's just logical. And then we get together and say, oh, you know, God, but your mercy lasts forever. It does. To those who actually seek it, to those who want it, to those who respond to him. To the Stephens of the world, to those Noahs of the world, to those who actually listen to God. But those who don't listen, it's not like he's out there forcing you to listen. See, it's important. Isaiah 63:7. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord. According to all the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love, in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. God says, I have done all of these things. And they said, I don't want them. So if God offers you a life, he offers it to you. He says, here, I want you to have the life I made for you. It's here. Take it. And you go, I don't want it. Where's your hope now? That's what I'm saying. To believe that it will work out anyway, without God, it will not. There's no way that it can. See, he says, here, look what he just said in Isaiah. Here. But what did you do? You didn't listen. But you rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy, and he himself fought against them. God said, fine, you do not want to listen to me? All right, don't. Wow. What can a person expect, honestly? I mean, what do you expect if you honestly run from God? What can you expect? Do you want to run from God and then have his blessing? Is that the God you created in your own head? You know that's not true. If you run from God, he's not going to bless what you do. Now, you might say, well, I can run from God. There are people who aren't even believers that have money. I'm not sure I'm talking about money. Money isn't a blessing necessarily. Oh, it is something he gives you, something he is. I understand that, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's important to understand. Numbers 13. Again, remember what happened. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back word to them, and all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, we came into the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey and this fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. God, you are right. The land is beautiful. And God says, yeah, I want you to have it. Go, sure. But God, I don't think we can. All right. Classic example. The people wanted God to bless them, but not listen to God. Does that work? I want your blessing, God, but I don't want to listen to you. Really? What happens when you want God's blessing but you don't want to listen to him? You waste your life. Wait a minute, you called my life a waste? I didn't. I just said, you waste your life. If you choose to know what God says but then ignore it, you will waste your life. Why? Because God did not create you to be all about you and your comfort. No, he created you to love you. When you love him, you listen to him. When you don't listen to him, there are consequences to not listening to him. I am not talking about heaven and hell today. I'm not doing that right now. However, those people who refuse Jesus Christ, they refuse him, there is no hope for them to be with God. You say, well, what about his mercy? That's why there's Jesus, his mercy. That's why Jesus came, to give us the mercy to come into God's family, to give us grace. And if you refuse that, there is no other payment for sin. There is no other way. If you are trusting the church, or you're trusting baptism, or you're trusting something else, there is no other way. You will be disappointed. You say, well, God should have a little leniency there. Everybody should be right. Everybody can't be right. These are mutually exclusive things. See, so what we understand by looking at the children of Israel is that there was a group that actually heard very specifically from God, go take this land. They did not do it. And then they moaned about not being blessed by God. And for 40 years, they walked the desert and died. When God didn't want them to do that. It isn't God that gave up. I know my title is The Confusion About God Giving Up, but I'm still trying to figure out a word for it. It's not God that gave up. It is God that gave in to them and said, if you're going to disobey and you aren't going to go into the land, I don't have blessing for you now. So the only option is roam the desert. Die there. And when all of the decision makers are dead, except for those, Joshua and Caleb, who follow me, we'll try this thing again. Why? Because God's love doesn't fail. He wanted the next generation to have it. And we know the history of Israel. As they continued to fail, God acted. God acted. God acted. We don't believe that he will, but he does. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. There's always one in the crowd. You know what Caleb was saying is, let's listen to God. Let's do that. We can do this. Why didn't the group want to listen to God? What were they expecting if they didn't listen to God? How were they expecting this to turn out? Talk to young people who are thinking of marriage, something they're not equally yoked to, whoever they're, and you know, I hope it works out well. It's like, what are you hoping will make it work out well? How not listening to God does anything work out well? And then I know you're going to blame God. You're going to blame Christians. But how does not listening to God make anything work? It can't. This isn't going to end well for the people that did not want to go into the promised land. It is going to end well for a few of them who took a stand, Caleb, Joshua. Why? Because God's love doesn't end. And those who listen to him will find that out. Those who don't listen to him will not find that out because they didn't listen to him. Those who listen to him will find it out. Joshua found it out. He became the next leader. Caleb, give me that mountain. You know, he went in there and took the hard part. They found out. God, your mercies are new. God, your love doesn't end. God, yes, you listen to me, you will find that out. And I wish the whole nation would have listened to me. See, it is not God's will that any should perish, but those who do not listen to God will. Now, yeah, I don't understand that. We'll talk more about that. But that's the way it is. Because it's something that we have to understand about who God is. To love somebody means that you actually give them choice and you actually let the choices be real so they have consequences. Caleb said, let's go. Then the men had gone up with him said, we are not able to go against the people. They are stronger than we are. Look at their reasons. Man, you know what happened? They're no longer looking at God. They're looking at the circumstances of life that are beyond understanding. We are not as strong as they are. We are not able to do this. We are not warriors. All of the reasons why. The one thing that they're not doing is listening to God. They're listening to each other, by the way. They're listening to their emotions, by the way. The one that they're not listening to is God. The only one that they should listen to, they're not. Do you believe that we can get in that habit where we begin to listen to each other and circumstances and more than God? God said, go, they didn't. The men went up and said, we're not able to go. Blah. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report. What they did is they went and they did the gossip routine, person to person. We can't go in there. These guys, Joshua and Caleb, are loopy. You know, The land through which they have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw are great height. And there we saw Naphtali and the sons of Anak who come from Naphtali. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. So we seem to them. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept at night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would we have died in the land of Egypt, or would we have died in the wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us to the land to fall by the sword? All right, didn't take long for him to throw this on God's shoulders as far as failing. No, put it in context. That's what we do as a culture oftentimes. God, we can do anything we want. We can disobey you, but you will not have a consequence for us. That's not true. They're doing that to God. God, we didn't listen to you. There are people in the land. You want it. They're like grasshoppers, if you go in there. It would have been better for us to die in the wilderness or die in Egypt than take this on. And now they're blaming God. What did God want to do? We know the story. What did he want to do? He wanted to show himself. Just go walk the land, please. Why? Everywhere you walk, yours. I'll do it. I'm God. What did they say? No, can't do it. Really, let me ask you this. Do you think they were no longer capable of walking? No, they were. They refused to walk. What are you supposed to be doing right now as a Christian? What are you supposed to be doing? I guarantee you're supposed to be doing something you're capable of. God's not asking you to do something you're not capable of. If you've listened to the other Confusion Series messages, what you need to be doing is drawing near to God. You need to be seeking Him. You need to be loving Him. You're capable of that. What happens when you do that? Then the rest of me talking about God doing this and doing that is irrelevant to you because He's not going to do this or do that to you. You know, he's not going to keep you out of the promised land if you walk with him, you love him. That's not going to happen. The thing I'm trying to do is make the theological lines clear. God does that to those who don't listen to him. But to those who do, you're okay. There's not going to be an issue. Joshua and Caleb, they ended up going into the land. Moses did not. Why? Because as the leader, there was another time where he's very public and he didn't listen to God. The one thing he could do, he didn't do. Not, can he beat the other foes? No, he couldn't even get the people to respond. Nope, couldn't do that. What could he do? He could listen to God. God gave him a direct command. He disobeyed it. God said, you're not going in the land either. Oh God, how harsh are you? I am not harsh. You decided not to go in the land by this. You decided to go away from my blessing. If you want to run away from God's blessing and find it somewhere else, good luck, because that's what you need. And I don't believe in luck, but that's what you're going to need. Because it won't work. If you want God's blessing, love him. How simple is that? Just walk with him. Listen to him. You know, what God says is not complicated. It really isn't. We make it complicated. Then we got a whole Talmud we write, and we're trying to understand, etc. Not complicated. I'm sinful, separated from God. I got that. God loves me, sent Jesus to I got that. I am to love him with my whole heart. So, got it? I can do that. I'm to love you. Understand that? Anything else? No, that's about it. Well, you know what? I can do all that. Yeah, we're going to make it far more complicated so you can't do any of it. And then when life goes rough, you're going to blame God. And God's going, wait a minute. I'm a scapegoat here. This isn't my problem. I had a different plan for you. I had the promised land. You didn't want it. Or at least you looked at the circumstances and stayed away from it. And they said, Why is the Lord bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Great work, Moses, Aaron, and Joshua. Now they're pretty much saying, the three that are listening to God, we're not listening to them. Boy, that's going to get you nowhere. First, you're not listening to God. By the way, this goes with 2 Timothy 4 in the New Testament, where people will look for teachers with itching ears to tell them what they want to hear. That's what they're doing. They're trying to find a leader to tell them what they want. You're never going to get God to just tell you what you want. And Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, and the son of whatever, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to the congregation of people, the land which passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights us, he'll bring us into this land and give it to us. And the land that flows with milk and honey, only do not rebel against the Lord. See, Joshua got this thing right. He says, please, 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 please. God wants to give this to me. Please don't do this. Why? You know, have you ever heard me, some of you have because we've met many times, have you ever heard me plead with you, please don't do that? You know, you legalistic old guy. No. You know what? Inside of a relationship, there's not legalism. In other words, I adjust my life for Linda. Why? Because I'm married to her. There's a relationship there. It's all right. If you adjust your life for Linda, I'm going to punch you. Because what? It's outside of a relationship. That's not right. And all of you would expect me within that relationship to have adjusted my life according to it. And you would not call me legalistic in that. In fact, some of you might actually think I have a romantic bone in my body or something and can actually be somewhat charming at times because of the fact that I love her and I want to show that, all right? So, all right, enough of this mushy stuff. I'm going to get on other things. But see, the whole deal really is I adjust my life to somebody that I have a relationship with. And that's all God is saying. If you love him, you will adjust your life to have a relationship with him, and the things in life that distract you from him are not things that you're going to want in your life. So you get those out. And you call them legalism, you call them whatever you want, but the bottom line really is if you're going to have a relationship, you need to get certain things out of your life in order to have a relationship. Some of you will struggle with that. If you date somebody, you get married someday, what you find out is that the girlfriends that were so close to your wife or the lady or the boyfriends that were my friends, all of a sudden they got a different status now. None of them are as important as the one you just married. So you know what that means? You have to adjust. And they have to adjust. They can't just pop over and say hi to me. You know, like, no, you got to adjust. Why I'm married. That marriage just ruins everything, doesn't it? No, it doesn't ruin anything, actually. I'm adjusting to a new life, and you need to love me. And if any of you think that if you ever get married someday, you're not going to make adjustments like that to a new life, then don't get married yet. Because you need to think it through, because you will. And likewise, people come to Christ, and it's like, hey, you don't need to do it, man, nothing, you know? No, you know what you need to do? You need to love God. That's what you need to do now. If you're a believer, you need to love God. And by the way, that means that you will put rules in your life because of a relationship that you have with God. Not because you want to have God go, nice kid, or anything, you know, it's the relationship side that sets them up. Very important you understand that. Children of Israel were all messed up here. Then all the congregation said to stone it, them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. God just stepped in at the last minute there again to take care of his leaders who loved him. You know why? Because his love never failed. Oh, these others are going to walk the desert now and they're going to waste their lives. They've rejected God. There is no way. See, the idea of God's love never failing, if you think it is that there are no consequences to your actions, no, that's not true. God's demonstrating his love right here. God demonstrated his love while I was a sinner. He sent Jesus. His love doesn't fail that way. God will not change. He will always, yes. But if I choose to ignore God, then what I am doing is I am telling God, I don't want to listen to you. Therefore, I can't say, God, I don't want to listen to you, but I want your blessing. That doesn't work. Like, I need to listen to you, then I get your blessing. Yeah, but what if you get beat up and stoned like Stephen? Might be. That's where, if you want to put that other song in context, Stephen could have sang that as he died. And I think he probably could have meant it. That God's love didn't fail. I mean, that kind of stuff. I think he's fine in that one. I think for those who are just living intentionally sinful lives and they sing that song, I don't think it works. By the way, God's love doesn't fail, though. It's still a theological truth. The thing is, you have to understand is love. And love will give you choice. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the confusion of choice. Maybe that's where it leads. Because we have to understand that. But in the process of understanding that, we have to know that indeed my choices matter greatly, and that my ignoring of truth, my ignoring of God, may have strings attached to it that I don't like. You say, well, why don't you just confess our sins and all is right? Well, that's true, except for the fact of the saying it that way. And I'll give you an example real quickly. When David counted the troops at the end of 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, somewhere in there, he wasn't supposed to. In fact, Joab went out to count them. He was so mad about counting them because he knew it was wrong. He didn't even finish. Came back, gave him a different number. And then David came to God and said, God, remove my guilt from this. Remove my guilt. And God said, pick a punishment. Most of us, if you read that, it looks like David actually confessed his sin, but he really didn't. He just said something like, God, I feel real guilty doing something I shouldn't have done. I know I shouldn't have done it. I knew it ahead of time because Joab said not to. I mean, it was well documented that David knew that he shouldn't have done this. But what David wanted to do was not listen to God as a leader. He wanted to not listen to God and then have no consequence for not listening to God. So when it was done, he played the confession game. So he didn't listen to God, and then he came and said, God, I feel kind of guilty not listening to you, so why don't you just remove that guilt? And that was like confession to him. And God said, no, pick your punishment. I forget how many died that day. What, 17,000? Does anyone remember the number? Anyway, quite a few died that day. I don't know who, the Bible doesn't say. I'm speculating it might have been his strongest soldiers, because he was counting soldiers. And maybe he was counting on them. You know, I don't know. But all of a sudden, the Bible tells us that David looked up, and there was an angel with his sword drawn above Jerusalem with blood dripping on it. He was about to take on the city. And David fell on his face and confessed his sin and said, I was wrong. God said, stop. It's over. Now, when the Bible says, and you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness, that's confession, the second one. The first one is convenience. God, I'm just going to name this thing real quick. And really, I just want the guilt gone so I can still live that way, and I don't want any consequences with it. No, consequences always come to those who play games with God, who want to not listen to him. Those who really do not want to listen but try and come up with a system of loopholes, you're going to be miserable. Because it's really simple. Either you love God today and you're seeking him and you want to honor him, or you don't. And if you don't, then you're going to be on your own. And if you're on your own, then don't blame God when things don't go well, because you can't figure out. They won't go well apart from God, because you weren't made to be apart from him. And if you come back to him, do I believe he'll take you? I do, because I'm human and I don't know where he draws the line. I just know that there was a time where Saul came back and he wouldn't talk to him anymore. I do believe, though, and I can show you theologically why I believe it, that Saul was still in heaven with God when he died. But regardless of that belief, it still came where the life that he had, the life that he could have had, was taken away from him because he wouldn't listen to God. You say, I don't want to believe that happened. It does. So what do you do? Well, you can't do anything about yesterday. Nothing. You can't do anything right now. Here's what you can do, though. You can start today. First, if you're not really a believer, if your trust is in anything other than Jesus, you got to settle that, because otherwise you're not even in God's family, and really there's very little hope for you. Oh, no, there's no hope for you. But those who are believers, those who have actually put their trust in Christ, you know what you need to do next? You need to simplify your whole life. Make everything about God. Love him, walk with him, enjoy him. Get up every day, work hard, and everybody you look at, you think, I'm going to make your life the best it could be as far as I can. Why? I'm loving you. See, you love God, you love each other. And then you know what I can promise you? His love never fails at that point, the way you think about it. His love doesn't fail, by the way, when he struck Sodom and Gomorrah either. And that's another issue that you can talk about. What is love mean, and what does it look like? Because God is love. So everything he does is love. So that's a whole other huge banana that I'm not going to unpeel right now. But the bottom line really is, I don't even have to worry about all that junk. I don't. Sorry for the word junk, but I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because I know that if I love God today and listen to him and walk with him and love you, I'm okay. I'm going to concentrate on what I can do, not on what I can't do or can't understand or manipulate, whatever. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to concentrate on what I actually can do, and I can do that. And I think that if you just do that, God will be okay. I mean, He'll lead you then and guide you, right? Because you're committed to listening to him. Why wouldn't he? There's promised land out there for you. Yeah, but it's tough. It's tough. They're big. Listen to God, would you? Close with the idea, you know, that we've been working through that thing in Canada. And again, God answered it in a way that, you know, I never even dreamt of. Well, it's not completely finished yet. We have the money. We just haven't found the generator yet. And as I communicated with Steve Tice up there today, I said, Steve, it's already solved. Just look for the answer. Why? Because our God never fails. This is his project. Our job is to show the world who he is, not to make sure we manipulate things to show him who he is. He brought us right to the edge of not having power and having to close the place. He didn't do it. He provided us the funds. I know we don't know where the generator is yet, but he's going down to the Sioux tomorrow, so you pray for him for wisdom. And instead of looking for an answer, I asked him, just look for the solution that's there. God has already taken care of it. We just need to find it. Now, where do I get that from? The fact that I am convinced that he doesn't fail. I am convinced that he cares. I am convinced that he loves. I am convinced with the provision of the money that he wants us to continue going. So I'm convinced of that. What's the answer right now? I don't know. But Noah didn't know, and Moses didn't know. And that's not the issue. If I was going to trust in the power company to get us power, it wouldn't work. If we were going to trust in the railroad to pay for it, it wouldn't work. I even wrote the prime minister. I was hoping he might get involved. Didn't work. What did work in this whole thing, if you want to see it? Our not being able to do anything but trusting in God. That's what worked. Wow, I could do that. You're right, I couldn't even get a letter to the prime minister. The power company doesn't want to talk to me, and the railroad won't talk to me. So how in the world can we solve this, humanly speaking? We can't. So what did I do? I went to my father and said, Father, I guess I'm nobody. And he goes, I know, but I'm not, and I love you. I'll deal with it. Get a call. We got a $10,000 grant. No kidding. God, smooth. Yeah. Not on the radar. God goes, I know, not on the radar. You know why, Dave? Because you're still at that stage in life where you might steal some glory from me, and this wasn't your plan, and I want you to make sure that everybody knows it wasn't yours. Got it. God's plan. Now, Dave, you had another plan. We already had a generator bought down here. Guess what? Didn't work. Oh, that's not the plan, God? Right. Another plan. You know what I have to learn to do still? Is just relax and let God deal with it. When I do, I'm never disappointed. If I got to do it all myself. By the way, you think that means be lazy, that's not what it says. You get up every day and you seek God and you love him and you work hard and go to bed and do it again the next day. Love God. Love others. But do not believe that the consequences of your actions, that there are no consequences to your actions. If you haven't read the book I wrote on Ideas Have Consequences, you can get it. You can ask me for it, whatever. I'll give it to you for the cost. I get it. But ideas have consequences. Beat your head on a rock, get a headache. See, that's a consequence. If you want to not have a headache, don't beat it on a rock. And don't blame God for the headache when you do. I hope that makes sense. For those of you that are wheels are spinning, you don't like some things I said, whatever, fine. I'm still Dave, I'm not God. Take your Bible, open it up, talk to one another, see what God says. The truth of the matter is he wants everybody to come to him and wants to love everybody and give them a life they should have. That's what he wants. But if you're not going to do that, then there's another life that you don't want. And that's up to you. And that's as simple as it gets. Father, again, thank you for letting us pause today. I ask your spirit to keep working in our hearts. Let us think about things that are true in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, we have Tell today, Sunday, for Tell people. And for those that are Tell people in here, we're going to have a double session today. We're not having it Tuesday, so please remember that.